Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, and you will be able to see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. For questions or comments during today's program, email spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com, which I do not access during the program. We will not be taking calls today. If you wish to contribute to the RBN Pledge Drive, just call 800-724-2719 or go to republicbroadcasting.org. You may support RBN by purchasing products from the RBN website, subscribing to the archives at a higher rate, or by buying advertising if you have a product or service to promote. I would like to share part of an email from a listener by the name of Van, and I quote, "I agree that Talmudism and Zionism is very evil, but could you please give a mention now and then of the good and brave Jews like the late Aaron Russo, who RBN has mailed out countless numbers of his videos, and the Israeli scientist Mordecai Vanunu, who spoke out publicly about the secret Israeli nuclear arsenal, and after 18 years in jail got released and spoke out again, and now he is back in solitary confinement," unquote. Van asked the question, should the U.S. military be renamed the Israeli Foreign Legion? In answer to that question, on March 5th, sponsors introduced House Resolution 4133, the United States Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012, and I quote, "to assist in the defense of Israel and for other purposes," unquote. AIPAC assisted in drafting this bill. Excuse me. Republicans Eric Cantor and Ilana Rose Lessiton, who's been in Congress since 1989, and Democrats Howard Berman and Steny Hoyer, since 1981, has been in Congress, co-sponsored this bill. Hoyer is a Democratic whip in the House of Representatives, and Cantor is the majority leader. Rose Lettington, I know I'm not pronouncing it correctly, heads the Foreign Affairs Committee. The U.S. taxpayers will pay in blood and money so that Israel may retain a qualitative military edge, and that's, quote, qualitative military edge over its neighbors. The House passed the resolution on May 9th by a vote of 411-2 with hardly any debate. Ron Paul, I believe, is one of the two that oppose this bill. My guest today is Veronica Clark. She is the author of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, A New Look at Hitler's Armed Forces, came out in February of 2011. She also wrote Black Nazis, A Study of Racial Ambivalence in Nazi Germany's Military Establishment, and Black Nazis 2, Ethnic Minorities and Foreigners in Hitler's Armed Forces, The Unbiased History. Veronica is a translator and editor of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, The Hyenas of High Finance. Her most current book is Hitler and Himmler, Uncensored. Veronica, welcome to the program. And her website is, lest we forget, it is VeraIconaPublishers.org. All righty. Welcome to the program, Veronica.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Doing very well. Very good. Well.
Good.
And, of course, just finished Stalin's Folly not too long ago. So we'll be talking about that. And am currently learning Quirk Express. I'm going through the tutorials slowly but surely. Quite tedious.
Well, we do have to take a 3-minute break. When we get back, tell us why you're doing that and what your plans are.
All right.
All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling. And with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days? And keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee. And it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet. And we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GET-BERKEY. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Today is Veronica Clark. Her website is Vera Icona Publishers, all one word, VeraIconaPublishers.org. All righty. So you're going to be a publisher. You are,
yes,
a publisher.
Yeah, but I'm going to do my own typesetting. So I just want even more professional, and I also want the power to, like, change documents or update them in the future. Whereas right now, the documents are not in my hands unless I have them saved in Word. They go to a separate typesetter. I want to be the one who has control over everything. So that's why I'm doing it. It just gives me more power over my own documents. So if we come across, you know, like an of that is missing on page 20 of a certain book in the future, I can immediately correct it instead of having to pay to make a change to, like, one page like that, because each and every error has to be paid for when one has a separate typesetter.
Oh, yes, I know that very, very well. It cost me, in my first book, I mean, just the word not was,
yes,
was missing. And,
right.
You know, and so you get so many errors that you can correct, but, hey, it costs you $250.
Exactly. So that prevents current books from being corrected. So this will not be an issue in the future any longer. And Quark Express is a very powerful program. It's as good as Adobe InDesign. So it's capable of putting out, you know, very professional quality material.
Yeah. And the other issue, too, of course, and what I have found is that they take their sweet time. You know, they say, oh, the editing will be done in this amount of time, and, you know, you're like with my second book, I'm still waiting for the editors to get done. And
exactly.
There really was not that much. I mean, it was edited and edited and edited. You know, I went
right
through it repeatedly. And, you know, all they have to do is edit for, not for content, but for grammatical, you know, things that, you know,
exactly. Exactly. I just have friends edit mine, my books, co-authors and friends, and I do as much as I can myself, but when you're reading your own stuff or you're reading something like a sixth or seventh time in a row, your eyes just glaze over.
Oh,
I'm sure
absolutely.
You know about that. I mean, absolutely. You just don't see these mistakes. It's like, really? There's a missing N?
Yes.
I read that like 18 times.
Yes. And also I have a tendency to speed read. And when you speed read, you don't read word for word. You read sentences as
exactly.
whole. So it just...
Editorial reading is totally different, and it makes reading actually very unenjoyable when you're reading strictly for editorial purposes. But yeah, I'm also venturing into cover design. I use Adobe and Corel. So I did my first one. It turned out pretty good.
Now you did the one that you sent me.
That's just a prototype right now because it's actually the image is a little bit too small. It needs to be made bigger. But yeah, that's one of my concepts. And I did print out my first cover and it ran off it went too far over. So I'm like, okay, now I know exactly what needs to be done here because the parameters are just, it's even when Lulu gives you the guide or Amazon gives you the guide, it's never quite right. You just have to kind of guess and check. So your first couple attempts are going to be throwaways.
Sure.
So I have one error book where my name and the title and the ISBN barcode is like running off the cover.
Well, but
maybe
hey,
it'll be worth a fortune someday. I don't know.
You can correct
one mistake. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is just a book I ordered for myself because I figured there'd be, you know, a couple mistakes.
Interesting.
But not too bad. So I'm going to go full force into publishing.
And so when you do it yourself, then you're not contracted with somebody else to do marketing, which they never get around to doing anyway.
Right.
I have found that even when you self-publish and they make you all kinds of promises and charge you money up front and tell you they're going to put it in all these stores, and then they want to charge you a bunch more money to actually put it into the stores.
Right. I do like my own marketing. One can use YouTube. One can just put it on one's own website. Any kind of interviews you do are, you know, sources of marketing, I suppose.
Yes.
But yeah, I really don't think any of that's necessary because really and truly the quality of the information and word of mouth is still the most powerful thing, in my opinion.
How true.
Yeah. I mean, if you're writing something good, it will get out there to people.
Right. And it will not be on the New York Times bestseller list.
That's right.
Thank goodness. We certainly don't want that on our
exactly. Yeah. And that's another thing. When one has this kind of control, one does not have to worry about what one is putting in a book. So, you know, I can put anything I want and I'm not going to have some typesetter or other person balk at the material, which is a problem, you know.
Oh, I know. I think that's what's happening now. I've written to my emailed a couple of times to the editor and said, hey, what's taking so long? I get no response. I think they're going through this and they probably called the ADL.
Interesting. It doesn't surprise me though. if that was the case, it would not surprise me in the least.
Yeah,
Lulu banned the Inconvenient History Journal, their hardcover edition. Somebody wrote in and said, excuse me, what are you doing selling this quote-unquote Nazi apologism and quote-unquote Holocaust denial? I can't believe Lulu's doing this. They immediately blocked the book. So now Inconvenient History is trying to figure out who they're going to go with to get their book out there, their journal out there, because Lulu balked.
Oh, my.
So that, even that is not a guarantee.
Right.
You know.
Very interesting. You think that would be, you know, they would publish anything because they're not you know, it's not their work. It's, you know, they're just providing a service for those people who want to self-publish. And yet, there's still an issue.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Wow. So, I guess let's start with Hitler's plan, Barbarossa. And this is going to take us into a book by, I think it's Konstantin Pleshikov, Stalin's Folly. Just a really good book. What did you think of it? Did you finish it?
I didn't finish it. I read several chapters. I read the ones that you had referenced. And, yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, he was really very paranoid. My word. He
yes.
trusted no one. He must have really been a very evil person, because typically when you think that other people think the same way that you do, and so he must have attributed all these characteristics of, you know, evilness and distrust to everybody around him. I mean, he trusted no one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was beaten by his mother and his father both. Stalin was a hated child. It's really a tragedy, because his personal tragedies and his failures in life became a global tragedy. It just goes to show you that one human being, one messed up human being and one messed up family can mess up almost the entire human family. And this is a trait of psychopaths. And in my view, after reading this and The Court of the Red Tsar, there's no doubt in my mind that Stalin was a psychopath. And he has all the characteristics, you know, the youth riddled with crime. He never once had a job. He could never, you know, get into a profession and stay with it. He was supposed to become a Jesuit priest, of all things.
You
exactly.
Know, in 1906 and 1907, he did work for the Rothschilds at one of their refining plants.
Right.
And but basically, he used that position to do a lot of sabotage.
Exactly. Exactly. And as a matter of fact, he drove them out of the Soviet Union. They had to shut down shop and get out of there. And they ran for their lives later on. So I don't believe Stalin was ever controlled by Rothschild, or really even the whole Jewish element in the Soviet Union is also more obscure and complicated than I think even, you know, any one of us would care to admit, because initially it was a Jewish movement, but once Stalin got in there, it became his movement, and it was about Stalin's imperial agenda. Not so much the communist world revolution. I think really and truly Stalin used communism as his own personal platform to power.
Right.
And his means of projecting his imperial agenda.
Right. But he was more interested in Russia than he was in going out, as you said, and creating an international movement.
Exactly.
Although he was interested in Europe, but not so much, you know, the whole world.
Right. I think Stalin ultimately kind of quashed that whole world revolutionary zeal. Not that he wouldn't have tried to get, you know, subversive governments going in different countries, but he was no Lenin or Trotsky. He was just a whole nother animal. So his interests were really Eastern Europe and especially Germany. He had like an obsession with Hitler too. He had like this kind of perverse idea that somehow Hitler was, you know, kind of his brother, long lost brother in soul, kind of a thing out there. Just very weird about Hitler.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. We do have to go to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes with our guest today, Veronica Clark.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working Capital Cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Veronica Clark. Her website is veraiconapublishers.org. And you were talking about how Stalin viewed Hitler. And I mean, would this be a kind of an attraction that evil would have for good, or what? How do you see this?
Well, Hitler is the only person that Stalin really respected. He loved his audacity, like that Hitler could just brashly go do the things he does. But yes, in a way, I think Stalin saw him as aggressive and, you know, kind of the typical Allied view, where Hitler wasn't aggressive. He was merely asserting Germany's place in a very hostile and aggressive world, if I might say so myself, full of imperial agendas. I mean, pretty much everybody had an empire going, so I think that's what Stalin saw in him, though, was kind of a forceful person that wasn't going to sit back and take it from France and Britain. And right. Stalin hated both. He hated France. He hated Britain. He hated anything that was abundance and haves. He just hated the haves. And this is because he himself was a have-not. He came from, you know, abusive family. Russia's just, this book just, it's depressing, to say the least.
Right.
I don't know if Russia's still like that today, but I hope not. You know, I hope that they have less alcoholism and these other things, but I mean, it was bad. It was really bad during that revolution. And this author claims, and he's not the only one. I've come across this from a couple other Russian, like, historians and psychologists, is that even today, Russians have not gotten over the damage done by that regime. And once you read something like this full through, you see why that was. Stalin killed everybody. I mean, just because he was paranoid, he'd be walking the halls of the Kremlin, and one of the officers on duty would look at him, maybe nod or give him like kind of a smile, you know, acknowledging that he exists. And Stalin would immediately like kind of give him the evil eye and think, what did I do something? What does he have an agenda? And he'd have, they would disappear. That officer on duty would not ever come back. This was a daily routine in the Soviet Union. And it got to the point where there was just no, there was zero will, zero initiative. You get it from his generals, Zhukov, Rokossovsky. None of these men did anything of their own initiative until Stalin was finally forced to admit he had bungled it so badly and was going to lose everything and be killed himself if he didn't let loose a little bit and allow his generals to run the show. So, but they, in the beginning, total yes men, didn't question anything. And the craziest thing of all is these men, General Zhukov, Sergei Beria, all of these, or Lavrenti Beria, all these people that were around him, Molotov, they had the chance to kill this man. They went to his dacha, and he confronted them, and he said, "What brings you here?" And this was after the, basically the whole front had collapsed in the first 10 days. "What brings you here?" He had the look, according to these men's journals, that they've come to kill me. He thought it was over right then and there. They said, "We need you back." I mean, what? We need you back. I mean, this was their one and only chance to eliminate this man who lived on until 1953 and wreaked all the more havoc he did on Eastern Europe. But what made them do this? And what I get from this book, and this is perhaps the most important theme you will get from this book, is that when you raise have-nots into a position of power, people like Zhukov who had nothing, nothing, they will do almost anything and go with almost any terror to keep that power. Very important lesson for Americans to hear right now.
Yeah,
because
that's what I was
thinking.
Because
the more and more have-nots we have in this country, if they're ever elevated, they will unleash horror that you can't imagine if they need to keep that power. It is very much there. It will happen. It can happen.
Right. And certainly with the open border on the south, we have millions of them.
Right.
And of course, both parties are catering to them because they want to stay in power. And so you have a bunch of illegals who are basically, you know, making demands, and they're being met.
Yes. A new underclass is developing of completely exploited people. The middle class is disintegrating before our eyes. We are in the midst of a very similar situation that happened during the Russian Revolution. And the thing is you can get have-nots to do it. You can. If Americans and other people, especially in Europe too, if they can understand this concept, you can get them to do it. You will be more rational about your approach in just letting millions of these people into your country and being okay with it.
Sure.
They have a lot of resentment, and that resentment can be exacerbated and harnessed by good propaganda.
Sure. Just give them a uniform, give them a gun, and the rest of us had better watch out.
Exactly.
All righty, we do need to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on Earth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Guest today is Veronica Clark. Her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org, and at the top it will say the Journal of Revisionist Access History, and you can see an image of some of Veronica's books at the top. It's a very nice page, very nice looking page.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with actual details of this thing. I'm going to start with Hitler's plan because most people have this idea that Hitler was an aggressive maniac who just swallowed up Europe and attacked the Soviet Union for no good reason at all. Basically, Hitler's plan, Barbarossa, was ad hoc and contingent. It was contingent on Allied behavior. Hitler was waiting to see what Britain and Russia were going to do before he was going to do anything. So the idea that this was a systematic plan that dates back to Mein Kampf is absolute rubbish. And this is the most important point of all. Lebensraum, the living space thing, it has nothing to do with grabbing Russian territory. Eastern Europe was initially the living space idea. You know, we Germans want to get our territories in Eastern Europe back, Danzig, whatnot. It became a goal and part of the propaganda as the war progressed, because that's how you sell a war to your populace. You need to give them reasons that are not necessarily the true reasons for a war. It's just like the United States in the Middle East today. We're not there for oil. There are other underlying reasons we are there. If it was strictly for oil, the United States would be getting like 80 to 90, probably at least 70% of its oil from the Middle East. Okay. So I think we can be pretty clear that there's something else going on with that Middle East agenda. Oil is just one tiny part.
Right.
So it's similar with the German thing. You tell your masses one thing, but there's an underlying quote-unquote real reason at the top. So first, from the German point of view, now this isn't necessarily from the Russian point of view, the Russo-German Pact, which is also called the Nazi-Soviet Pact, was designed to pressure Poland, not erase it. So this idea that Hitler was going to go in and annex Poland, which he never did, take over Poland, no, that was never the case. And as a matter of fact, there is evidence from the Russian side that Joseph Beck was either a German agent or working much more closely with the Germans than the Poles would care to admit. So that's something that we'd like to know more, at least I'd like to know more about.
Right.
You know, that's important because the Germans and the Poles were negotiating and getting things done and actually coming to a nice peace agreement before Britain and Russia intervened. So what did those two parties do to corrupt the German-Polish relationship? That's something we're still missing from the World War II record that needs to be corrected. Hitler's invasion of the USSR was ad hoc, not systematic. He didn't even have a military plan for such an invasion until December 1940. That is just 6 months before Barbarossa commenced. One does not have a systematic, well-planned campaign just 6 months ahead of an actual war. That is nonsense. Even Stalin's preemptive plan, which Plesetskov discusses in Stalin's Folly, he was planning on 42. Now, Stalin got pushed faster because he realized that maybe Hitler wasn't playing games with him after all in letting him have the time to do this. But Stalin's aim was about around summer of 42. Of course, that's accelerated, but even he needed more time for that. You need time to move your airfields up front. Your fortifications need to move as your border, you know, advances closer to Germany. And that's, in fact, what Stalin was doing. That's why all of his aircraft got blasted away, because they were right there on the border where the Germans could get them, because he was planning to use Poland as a strike pad against Germany and, of course, the Ukraine. So this is something we need to think about. You don't just move, you don't just create fortifications and move planes in a couple months and have your aggressive offensive ready to go. It takes a long time. So, you know, Hitler really was a rushed man, and he went into this unprepared and admits that. So he wasn't a dupe. He knew full well what he was doing. Hitler had mentioned Stalin's buildup of forces in her western border areas in passing in June 1940. As a result, he wished to try and conclude a peace with England. So we shouldn't be under the impression that Hitler was England's buddy-buddy. He was seeing what was going on with Russia and going, okay, I don't want a two-front war, so I'm going to try to get peace with England. He did not say we are looking for feelers with England on the basis of the division of the world, however. That is a quote that is attributed to him by many. There is absolutely no proof whatsoever other than the alleged memoir of one individual that says Hitler said that. And as Plesetskov points out in his book, just excellent in the epilogue, one has to be very, very careful with memoirs and statements. So this statement is not corroborated anywhere else, nor is it reflected in Hitler's actions. There is also no proof that he remarked at this time that, quote, I will have my hands free for my really great task, the conflict with Bolshevism, end quote. So, again, his subsequent actions go against these statements. First, Hitler had tried to negotiate with the Soviets, so why would he be negotiating with somebody he's planning on destroying? Okay, in spite of Stalin's increasing Russo-German Pact violations, which occurred all the way up until December 1940. So all the way until Hitler actually issued a directive number, I think it was 21, for Barbarossa, Stalin is violating the treaty the whole time.
Right.
And Hitler's sitting there going, okay, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice, and finally does something about it. He literally waited as long as he could. until he saw the grand design unfolding and went, this guy is going to attack us. I would be an idiot to sit here and let him have his war on his terms. So, you know, that's something that people are going to have to decide on their own. Should Hitler have invaded? Or, as I put in Hitler and Himmler Uncensored, I put an essay in there, should Hitler have allowed Stalin to invade, giving himself the victim status? Would he have won? Not necessarily. Hitler almost defeated Russia. Came so close.
Which is amazing. With all the help that that Russia then acquired from the United States and Lend-Lease and everything. I mean, it was amazing because Germany was certainly not militarily prepared.
No, they weren't prepared. They were outnumbered. They had more horses. This whole Blitzkrieg thing, mythological.
Yeah, it was English that actually created the Blitzkrieg idea. The English did that.
Well, one of my past instructors, Antulio Echeverria, wrote an excellent essay on the Blitzkrieg myth. He said, people, it didn't happen like you think. That was propaganda, that the Germans were kind of exaggerating a tad about how Blitzkriegy they were and how armored and well-prepared. They were not. They were just great fighters, had incredible will. And they were behind Hitler 100%. There's no doubt about it. That man was able to direct the will and rally those people in an extraordinary effort. Even Burton H. Klein, this economist, you know, way back in the day, Harvard economist who wrote a book on the German economy, he's like, you know, we should really be looking at how Germany almost did this. This is incredible. That's what's really stunning. Hitler almost won. If he had just maybe done a couple things different, he would have won the war.
Wow.
So, and of course, wonderful Mussolini going into Greece. I mean, I hate to blame Mussolini, but man, that was a terrible mistake.
Bad thing to do.
Yeah. And it wasn't entirely Mussolini's making. It was the Italian elite, Badoglio, you know, a lot of his cohorts in action. So, but yes, that pretty much put the nail in the coffin for Hitler. That was it. And even Hitler knew.
And you can also say that the German elite were also kind of a disadvantage for Hitler.
Oh, yeah. When one thinks about it, and I try to capture this in the Union Jackal and also in the Hyenas of High Finance, Hitler was in a war on many, many fronts. His own elite, his own generals were his enemy. That needs to be considered a covert front.
Absolutely.
The aerial front waged, you know, in the air over Germany by two countries, America and Britain, both. You know, all they could summon aerially against Germany. Then you got Russia. Italy eventually enters the picture against him. You know, Japan basically tells Hitler to go to Hades when they tell Stalin, hey, we're not going to attack you. You're good. You're free. You can send all of your reserves to the front and attack him full force. I mean, that's another backstab by the Japanese.
Sure.
And then you've got France. You got the Scandinavian states. You got neutral Switzerland with the Lucy Apparat and the Red Orchestra. You're dealing with a war on like eight fronts here.
Right.
So just because you can't see a physical front doesn't mean it isn't. It's unbelievable what Hitler accomplished. It really is. And it's all the more amazing that he lasted as long as he did. When they say his whole willpower thing, I very much believe that. It's incredible.
Yes, it is. And it's amazing that people could twist and turn the whole thing around and put all of the blame for everything that happened during the war on him when there's so much evidence that opposes that idea.
Exactly. It's absolutely nonsensical. And I think ultimately what captures people about Hitler is, how did one man get almost the entire world to gang up on him like that? Let's think about that dynamic. What was so threatening about Hitler and the NSDAP that made the entire world act like a 10-year-old bully on a playground? It's pathetic.
Yes.
One man, one little nation. I mean, Germany isn't exactly a big, like, United States or Canada or something. It's incredible. That's the dynamic people should start looking at. What did the majority of the world at that time, which, you know, is the British Empire, the Pan Angles, as we've described before, what did they find so threatening about that one little man?
That economic policy.
The economic policy, and there's also one more clue in Stalin's Folly. And basically, he puts it this way. The meta-nations ganged up on the ethno-states. And that's probably, the second most important theme in this book. Let me just read what he wrote, because it's just so profound. And let's think about America and Britain while I read this. Russians certainly made up the ethnic core of the Soviet Union. But in 1941, internationalism was taken seriously in the USSR, and the party attempted to create a meta-national entity, the Soviet people. In June 1941, no Red Army leader would have referred to his, quote, Russian troops, end quote. The country's elite was multi-ethnic. Stalin was Georgian, Beria was Mingrelian. Of course, in the course of the war, the Vosht vigorously started promoting Russian nationalism, and at the celebratory reception in 45, he toasted not the Soviet but the Russian people. Yet in 1941, the concept of Sovietness was still firmly in place. And this is why he refers to them as the Soviet people and the Soviet troops. So what we have is Soviet, American, British, meta-national states versus the fascist ethno-states. It is fascism, it is the ethno-state, it is the national socialist, or just the nationalist idea that they find so threatening, except when it's for Israel.
Exactly, yes.
That is the only nation that's allowed to be an ethno-state today and get away with it.
Yes, and everybody else has to have an homogenized population and be internationalist and be just...
They have to be meta-national.
Yes.
I like that term. It's perfect. So, yeah, this is something we need to think about. In the broader context, it is the meta-nations versus the ethno-nations or the nationalist nations. That's probably right up there with the economic policies Hitler had and the circumvention of the Sterling Block he started implementing that put him as enemy number one.
Right. And, of course, nationalism and nationalist have become almost dirty words now. I mean, when in the media they talk about, they're nationalizing their oil or that nationalist. And, you know, people have been instructed, indoctrinated to think that is an evil thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And without nationalism, such as that practiced by China today for the most part, you're going nowhere. It's not for no reason that as the U.S. declines and sinks into an absolute abyss, China's rising like a tiger. I mean, mm-hmm. We're literally seeing the transfer of our wealth and our technology and our knowledge to China.
And our
leaders
oil.
Are, and our oil. And our leaders are perfectly okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what the war was all about, people. So let's think about that. Hitler was for his nation, for his people, for his Germans' place in the world, that they also deserve to be part of the world as an equal player, as a have nation, which is how Lawrence Dennis put it. He pitted it as the haves versus the have-nots. But as most of us can see, the have nations tend to be the meta-nations. They're the ones that can bring in all these immigrants and have this just super abundant wealth that they don't even know what to do with. And they tend to oppress their own people. Certainly the case in the United States and the Soviet Union before. And also Britain today. I'd say they definitely oppress the British people. The elite absolutely. Are the only ones that matter in Britain.
Same here.
Yeah. So moving on with this, beginning in May 1940, the Soviets created multiple crises.
Veronica, hold that thought. We do have to take a quick three-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Our guest today is Veronica Clark. Her website is veraiconapublishers.org. And I think that, you know, we have a more recent example of this mentality of the Brits and the Americans in the attack on Libya and the murder of Muammar Gaddafi. Are you there? Hello? Are we on? I seem to be by myself. So I'm not sure what's going on here. But Veronica was talking about the two policies, the economic policy and the nationalist policy, and that is what the Americans and the Brits had against Hitler. And, of course, they had to get their populations outraged at these things by telling them other things, such as that Hitler had a world view, that he was going to try to create a world order. And that is exactly what the Jews and the Americans and the Brits were actually intending to do with their internationalist policies. And so they just projected their agenda onto him, and certainly it got their populations both very upset. So I'm still trying to figure out where our guest went. So let me just type a message to our board operator and see what is going on. I'm not hearing anything from anybody. So I don't know whether we're on the air or not. But certainly when Hitler attacked Russia, it was certainly because that was the only thing that he could do. And if he had not done that, and if Russia had been allowed to go into Germany, they would have taken over all of Europe and communized all of Europe long before they actually did, which Eisenhower allowed them to do when he stopped advancing east. He allowed the Soviets to come in and occupy much of Eastern Europe. And so we, you know, it was a terrible situation. I'm still trying to figure out what is going on here. I'm not hearing anything from anybody. Our guest seems to have disappeared. And let me just type another message here. Interesting. Don't know what is going on. Somebody didn't want Veronica to be talking about what she's talking about, but we are going to our 60-second break in just a moment. But so anyway, Hitler, as Veronica said, had 6 months to prepare and basically tried to reason with Poland, tried to reason with the Soviets. They had the pact with them, and as she indicated, the Russians simply would not abide by that pact, and so there was actually no other choice. Okay, all righty, we are going to our 60-second break, and we'll be right back after station ID. I guess it was Skype that was acting weird. Who owns Skype? Be right back.
The next